Okay, we are now continuing on Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom. Ve Omar Ula Omar Rab Elazar.
Is this going to be a separate sugya?
Now, yes, it's a new sugya and has nothing at all. As a matter of fact, the next few pages have nothing to do with Baba Kama right now.
This is where they came up with it now for something completely different?
So why are we mentioning this? So let's just look at the notes and I'll point out one thing and you'll see what's going on over here. In the last sugya, if you look at point number 5, we said a statement of Ula in the name of Rabbi Elazar. We mentioned a statement of Ula in the name of Elazar that said we do evaluate for thieves or robbers. And you pay the difference. Now we don't even hold of that opinion.
We don't.
But we happen to bring in Ula in the name of Rabbi Elazar, which I misspelled, so I should fix that up. That Alcatraz is a choice to rephrase it. Oh, Alcazar.
Alcazar.
And again,
you should know that. Just turn it back on. It saves power.
Elazar. And we don't even hold that opinion. However, look at all the typos. No one's telling me about my typos. Okay. But now that we mention a statement of Ula in the name of Rabbi Elazar, for whatever reason, the author of the Talmud said, you know, now's a good place to mention all the other statements that Ula said in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Okay? Because, you know, sometimes you just don't have any place to put these statements. So we're going to throw them in. So whatever Ula said in Rabbi Elazar, we're going to toss it in now. And now the next few sugyas that are totally unrelated to Baba Kama are going to be thrown in. So although it's the next sugya, but it doesn't really continue. Everything still now has been totally related to what we've been learning, maybe with one little minor exception, I believe. But everything was totally focused on the Mishnayos. All this was totally focused. Who gets the carcass? That's all Baba Kama stuff. Now, those who learned Rambam with us will appreciate a little review from the complicated things we learned not so long ago, only 1 week ago.
Right.
It's going to come back to haunt you.
Just review, or better than
that, not to haunt you, but it'll be a good review to solidify what you know, as you will see in one moment. I'm sorry?
Robbers and thieves?
No, it's just a statement.
Remember, all we're going to do, these sugyas now are not related to Baba Kama topics at all. So if it's not related, it could be anything, right? Could even be placentas, right?
Yeah, you remember placentas?
If it's not related, would a placenta be something not related to this sugya?
A shlia?
Right? So, but Ula said in the name of Elazar, there's something about it. So I'm just saying, the fact that you learned the Rambam, those who learned the Rambam, you'll have a little advantage, and it's going to be a little bit of review, and those who didn't will certainly explain it well enough to understand it. So that's coming up in our next sugya, which I've marked Sugya 7, and I put in brackets to let you know why this shift. Additional statements said by Ula in the name of Rabbi Elazar. And I'll say the central issue right now, although you won't understand it, because I have to explain it. When do the days of Tumah of childbirth start? When a fetal sac partially left the womb on Sunday and part came out on Monday? Okay, now what in the world has nothing to do with our sugya, but it is the Ula in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Alright, so now we go to the Gemara, and let us, as a matter of fact, before we go to the Gemara, let's go to the Torah, Vayikra Yud Beis, Psukim Aleph Tehei. So Vayikra Yud Beis, Parshas Tazria. Oh, Vayikra, not Shmos. Not going to work if I keep it in Shmos.
That won't work.
Okay. Pasuk Beis. Daber b'nei Yisrael le'mor. Isha ki sasriya v'yolda zohar. Woman conceives and gives birth to a boy. V'toma shivas yomim. She is t'meya for 7 days. Ki mei nidas t'vosa. Just the same way if she was a nida t'itma, she is t'me. A woman, by delivering a child, even if she doesn't have any blood in the delivery, which is unlikely, but even if she has no blood, a normal vaginal delivery creates a tumah of, or any delivery, creates a tumah of 7 days. Now, the next pasuk is not related. On the 8th day, he gets circumcised, but now pasuk dal. Ushloshim yom, ushloshim teshim bnei tahara. Then the next 33 days, after having a male, any blood she sees is considered blood that doesn't make her tamea. Even though it's coming for the cervix, The Torah is saying any blood that comes at that time, she is days of purity. Nothing to worry about. She cannot touch any holy thing. She can't come to the sanctuary until she purifies herself. So we have 7 days tumah for a boy, 33 days of tahara. Pasuk hey. So if she gives birth to a female, she's tmeah for 14 days. And 66 days, she's tahara. Alright? That's the laws if you know for sure you had a boy or for sure you had a girl. This doesn't matter if it's a living fetus or if, God forbid, a miscarried fetus. Doesn't matter. If it's clear that it's a boy, 7 and 33. If it's clear that it's a girl, it's 14 and 66. Now, that's point number one. Point number two is all by means of introduction. Every child, the way it is developed first, there is a placenta, or the fetal sac, in which the child grows within. And when a lady, let's say she has a very early miscarriage, after 40 days of conception, she can miscarry a placenta, and it's very even hard to see if there's even a child. There's a glob of mass inside. And you know, if there was a placenta, there had to be a child. There's no such thing as a placenta without a child, generally speaking. So therefore, if she discharges a placenta, it's considered like a childbirth, and she has to go through days of tumah, of impurity, and days of tahara afterwards. Now, if the child's developed far enough along that you could see in the placenta what kind of the sex of the fetus was, then it becomes clear. It's either for a boy 733 or for a girl 1466. But what if the placenta comes out and it's after 41 days? However, it's not discernible if it's a male or a female. What do we do then in terms of her days of sitting for tumah? How many days of tumah does she sit? How many days of tahara does she get?
We know what the Rambam says.
All right. So, well, let's see what the Gemara says. Even before the Rambam. But that is all what we're dealing with. So again, nothing to do with Baba Kama, but it's Ula in the name of Rabbi Lozer. So that's why we connect it there. There must be much more mystical underpinnings behind Ula, the son of Rabbi Lozer, that we are not aware of, but that's, our job is just to learn this Torah. So let's continue. Ve'amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Lozer, Ula says, in the name of Eliezer, Rabbi Lozer. Shilya. Shilya is a placenta or a fetal sac. She yatsasa miktsasa biyom rishon umiktsasa biyom sheni. A fetal sac goes a little bit out on Sunday and a little bit out on Monday. Now that's not so hard to understand if the woman is delivering shortly before twilight. Okay? Some of the fetal sac comes out Sunday afternoon and the rest comes out Sunday night. But halakhically, those are two separate days of the week. And in terms of tumah, it would make a difference what day of the week would the baby be considered born. Okay? So a little bit of the fetal sac, right? And so part of it came out on the first day, and part of it came out on the second day. Okay? Rashi says, Dekaim alon, we establish Hamapela Shilya, a woman who miscarries a placenta, Yoshev es aleh yimei tumah v'yei tahara. She has to sit days of impurity and days of purity. Because the rule is, she ain't shilya below v'lad. There's no such thing as a placenta without some kind of a fetus. However, so where's the fetus? Elishini muach v'socho. But it got, dissolved.
Disintegrated
in the sack. But there certainly was a real fetus that came out. Footnote 24. If the miscarriage took place over a period of time that began at the end of one day and continued into the next day, with the amniotic sac emerging partially from the first day, includes the second day. Fine. So what do we do? So now the question now, first issue is, okay, when do she begins her seven? Well, now, obviously, if we don't know if it's a boy or a girl, I have to add as well, the next halacha would tell us, we have to always go strict. Just this placenta comes with a bunch of mush inside of it. We have to assume the worst on both ends. We have to assume she miscarried a girl, which gives her 14 days of impurity. And in terms of tahara, purity afterwards, we assume it's a boy that only give her 33, but we're already taking 7 out of that 33 by extending it to 14. So it's down to 26. So she gets the worst of both worlds. 14 days of tumah and only 26 days of tahara. Good. That's all clear. The question now is...
26 days?
Yes. Tahara? 40 minus 14 is 26. Last time I checked.
Oh, yeah, right, right. Okay.
So now, the point is, she started delivering a sack on Sunday. Now, she has 14 days. Now, does the 14 days begin on Sunday and therefore ending 14 days later on Saturday night because she started delivering the sack on Sunday? Or would we say, no, she also delivered some sack on Monday. So the question is, you know, when was the actual delivery day? That becomes the issue. Because some of it came on Sunday, some on Monday. Do we begin the days of Tumah on Sunday or Monday? That's the issue over here. So that's the problem here. So therefore says Ula in the name of Rav Elazar, Monin La, we count the days of childbirth, and for that matter, the days of Tumah, we count from one, Min HaRishon, from the first day of the week. That's when we begin. Says Rashi, Dimiyom Rishon Tmeah, from the very first day, that day she began to deliver the beginning of that placenta, she becomes Tmeah, Vafilu Havei Leidei Yavesh, even though it's a dry later, there's no blood, even no blood, just a placenta, that's enough to consider Tumah. And therefore, what does that matter? Let's say, this is all like unusual situations obviously, but it doesn't matter, it's Torah, that let's say as she delivered the placenta, somebody brought her a little bit of truma, or anything for that matter, and she touches something, it now is Tumah out of a Suffolk, even though she didn't see any blood. Because you have to assume from the first day she's Tumah. So she touches something, it's Tumah. Because of that, what happened on the first day? All right? So let's see the footnote, the note here. So she counts from that, okay, as the counting of that, yeah. Okay, fine. Let's take a look at 26. In the case discussed by Ula, the woman miscarries an amniotic sac with no discernible fetus contained therein. Nevertheless, she is Tumah, as every amniotic sac is assumed to contain a fetus.
That's Rashi.
Clear. And we say that the fetus is not discernible only because it has dissolved within the sac. Now, birth is discerned. Here's the point now. Birth is determined by the emergence of the greater portion of the fetus. When is a baby called delivered? What if a baby, you know, sticks a foot out a minute before twilight, but the rest of the body doesn't come out till after twilight?
After twilight.
Then he's not considered born till the next day. Birth is considered where the majority of the fetus comes out. Okay? Now all we have is some placenta came out on Sunday afternoon. The rest comes out on Sunday night. So, what is Ula rule? That we assume that the greater portion of the fetus emerged during the first day, and he therefore declares the woman Tumah from that day. Okay? So that's his opinion. Because we're saying she's Tumah from the first day. Why is she Tumah from the first day? Because he assumes that the majority of the fetus came out on the first day, and that's why she becomes Tumah immediately from the first day. That's what he's saying. Because in other words, we're not sure of it, but we have to suspect that when part of a placenta comes out, it could be the majority of the fetus was in that placenta, and therefore she became Tumah because she gave a delivery on Sunday afternoon as the majority came out. We have to be at least concerned for that. You're right, maybe it came out later, the rest, but it could have been, could it not have been possible that the majority came out on Sunday with the placenta, part of the placenta?
Definitely.
Yes. And therefore we have to be concerned with that. That's his opinion. Omer le Rava. Rava questions this. He doesn't like this. He says, Ma datcha, what's your reasoning? What are you doing over here? What do you want to do? Le chumra? You want to be strict? What's the strictness, says Rashi? Dimitamin tahara shenaga barishon. We make any holy thing she touched on the first day, tamei mishas es yeshulia, from when the placenta came out. So you're saying it's possible that the majority of the child came out in part of the placenta that came out on Sunday. That's what you're saying. So you're being strict, eh? So what's the strictness saying? From Sunday, whatever she touches, Tabea. Let's think about it. Sometimes a stringency on one end becomes a leniency on the other end.
Yeah, because she's got a day earlier.
So now let's figure. It ain't going to continue. Chumrah, this is a chumrah stringency, diosi lidei kulahu, that will bring a leniency later on. Why will it bring a leniency? Because since the kamitaharis lemirishal, for you will declare her tar counting 14 days from the first day. So now if she starts being tamea on Sunday, she will finish on Saturday night, 2 weeks later, and by the next Sunday, whatever she touches is tar. As opposed to if you wouldn't make her tummy till Monday, the tumma lasts until Sunday. So even though you're strict to start her tumma one day early, you are still being lenient by ending the tumma one day early. So what are you doing? It doesn't make any sense. Why are you doing this? No reason to do this more than anything else. Right? Rashi, to come into Aris Lemi Risha, you got to make her pure from the first day. She day so fair as Yudal Shal Nakeva. She counts 14 days of tumma for a girl. In Yom Arisha, including the Sunday, V'damim Shetir V'yom Tesvav, and blood she sees on the 15th day, two Sundays after that, Tahara will be pure. Da'ainu Kula, that's a leniency. Because the Avimanya Misheni, if you start counting from the second day,
she's not.
She wouldn't become Tahara till the next Monday. Yeah. So the next, yes, Monday. So your strictness is going to be a leniency. That doesn't make sense. So therefore, Rava, because of this question, he disagrees with Ula's statement in the name of Rava Lazar. And therefore, Rava says the following, Ella Abba Rava, but Rava says, you know what, we've got to be strict on both ends. Lachush Chasheshes, regarding being concerned with the possibility she become Tmeya on the first day, we are concerned. Yes, we make her tame, but when do we begin counting 14 days? Rashi, Chosheshes, Letame Tara Shedagav Rishon, so whatever she touched on Sunday becomes tame, but we're not going to start the 14-day count. Mimna, lo mimna, elasheni. But counting, we don't count, but from the second day. We don't consider Tmeya from Monday. Point 29, Rashi Shvuyayim din akevel misheni. Don't count the 2 weeks of tuma for a girl except from the Monday. Point 29. Thus, Rav explains, Ula is indeed ruling stringency due to the possibility the majority of the fetus emerged during the first day. For he rules that the woman is tummy during that day out of doubt. And therefore anything Torah that she touched on that day will be treated as tummy due to that doubt. However, he does not mean that the tumma period definitely begins on that day, since it's also possible that the majority of the fetus did not emerge until the second day. Thus, the woman cannot count the 14-day period from the first day, and she remains tummy out of doubt on the 15th day as well. So Rava is basically explaining Ula and the name of Elazar a little clearer. Okay, even though he said you count from the first day, he could not have meant that. It only makes sense we say things are tame from the first day, but you don't count except from the second day, and that's the clarification law. So again, it's a statement that Ula makes in Rav Elazar that we really don't agree with that initial statement. It's very interesting. The last sugya, Ula said in Rav Elazar, and we don't even hold like him. But since he made a statement, we're going to give him all the other statements. Right? And now we bring another statement, which also the statement isn't 100% accepted. It has to be modified a bit. So before we continue, let's just take a look at our notes here and see what we have. Point one. Statement of Ula in the name of Rav Elazar. If a fetal sac that partially left the womb on Sunday and part came out on Monday, the days of tuma of childbirth start from Sunday. Okay? Objection of Rava. Are you being stringent? This stringency will lead to leniency, for she will consider herself to be Tahora 2 weeks from Sunday. Statement of Rava. Rather, she is concerned lest she became Tmeya on Sunday, but she counts day of Tuma only from Monday, and we're strict from both ends. That's how we have to learn that situation. So now, as we go back to the central issue becomes a little clearer and what we're dealing with. The central issue, let's read it again. I've said the word the twice. Gotta get rid of that. When do the days of Tumah start? When the fetal sac parsh left on Sunday and park him out on Monday. So what are we saying? It starts on the Sunday, but we don't start counting till the Monday. So we're strict really for 15 days. That's what's really happening, right? There's Tumah for 15 days, not 14, right? That's how we're explaining it now. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to ask one simple question and give one not so simple answer. Okay. Okay, so now we basically have an understanding here. So Ula. So now what's the insight of Ula? Ula is saying, well, one thing's for sure, we're definitely concerned that there was a fetus, an actual fetus of a child that was 41 days that was in that sack. And we're sure there was one. We're sure there was one. Right? So now the question is, what was Ula trying to teach us? What was Ula trying to teach us? What was the whole point of the statement? In other words, Ula is an Amora. An Amora only makes a statement if he has something novel to teach us. What if a previous Mishnah said the same idea? What if there's an earlier Mishnah that would say the same concept? Would Ula have any right to say on his own that a statement that really we could have understood from a previous Mishnah? No. There'd be no insight in what he has to say. Gemara is going to ask on that, you know what, I don't understand what your insight is, Ula. You seem to be plagiarizing an insight that's in a previous Mishnah, as we shall see. Gemara asks a question now. Now that we've, even if we understand what Ula might have meant, Gemara has asked a question, my kamash malan. What was the insight that Ula was teaching us? Rashi, three words. Ula, what is Ula teaching us? To Omar, that he says, Choshesh, we have to be concerned. We have to be concerned from Sunday. What is the insight? So I guess you have to say the insight is as follows. The Ein Miksa Shilya below Velad. I guess the Chiddush is that even if you only have a partial sack has to have some amount of fetus. That's his insight. In other words, what if a partial sack could be with no fetus? In other words, there's two ways to look at it. One thing's for a full sack for sure has a fetus. That's no question. No question at all. You have a sack, you have a placenta, there has to be a fetus. Okay. But what if part of the sack comes out? If part of the sack comes out, we could say one of two things. Maybe there's some fetus in that sack. Maybe not. It's one way of looking at it. Or no. If there's part of the fetus, then there for sure has to be at least part of a placenta. If there's part of a placenta, there for sure has to be part of a child as well.
A fetus.
Has to be.
Say a fly.
So now that's two ways of looking at things. Right? Again, a full placenta comes out on Sunday. That means for sure a full fetus came out. For sure there's two. Part of a placenta comes out on Sunday. Now there's two ways of looking at it. You could say, maybe there's some fetus in there, maybe there's not. Or we say, no, for sure there's a fetus. The question is, did the majority of the fetus come out in this part or not? You hear? You hear? There's two ways to look at it.
Majority like of 2 centimeters.
Whatever it is. No, remember, the majority makes a difference. Is it considered the child was born that day?
How big is the fetus at that time? It's not even a millimeter.
Right. So it's a very little thing.
2 centimeters.
Not 2 centimeters, that's later on, not at 40 days. 40 days, it's tiny.
Whatever. But do you have the
majority?
In other words, so again, maybe. when a full sack comes out, we say for sure there was a birth on this day. If the full sack came out on Sunday, for sure she delivered on Sunday. Tumah's on Sunday, for sure. Part of the sack came out. Now what, how do we look at part of the sack? Is part of the sack, we don't know if any fetus came out or some fetus came out? Or do we say, no, for sure there had to be some fetus? Question is, was it a little bit of fetus or was it a majority of fetus? That makes all the difference in the world. And maybe that's his chiddush. His chiddush is, why do you want to teach us that for sure there is fetus? And since there's fetus, there's only one doubt. There's only one doubt. Was it a majority or not? And because of the doubt, she has to be tummy. If on the other hand, on the other hand, we don't even know there's a fetus in there, then that's a double doubt. to be a double doubt. A, I don't know if there's a fetus. B, even there was, it could be a minority. When there be a double doubt, we don't say things tamay on a double doubt.
Right.
So what do you tell me? Ula's insight is, by telling me she has to be strict right for the first day, is that for sure a fetus, a partial placenta, for sure has at least some amount of fetus. That's his insight.
Yeah.
So now, there's only one doubt. Did the majority of the fetus come out on Sunday with the placenta maker tuma from Sunday or not? So we have to be strict on both ends. So his insight is a partial placenta must have some fetus. And you tell me that's the insight he's telling me. That comes out. That's the insight, right? Right? Rashi. They mix a shilya below Vlad, Rashi says, umishum halki, therefore choshesha, she has to be concerned, shema rov michuya Vlad, yatsabosa mixas, that most of the disintegrated fetus came out with this little amount of placenta. Umichinafik rov, and when the majority comes out, havile kiololud, it's like a born child. Like it says in Nida, yatsamachutach, if it comes out chopped up, or masuras or mixed around, atchatsaruba, only when the majority comes out, you start tuma. You can't certainly be counting from Sunday, because the Shem Gruba, maybe the majority come out till Monday. The Yesh Mixa Shilia below Vlad, if there's a little bit. Now, if you say that a little bit of a Shilia, a placenta came out with a child, then we wouldn't be concerned to make her
Tameh. At all.
That far we wouldn't be concerned. The name of Treich, remember, did they two stringencies? Dilma Nafka, maybe it came out of an embryo, and Verov Nafka majority, that would be too much. So what are you telling me? Right now I'm saying, what is the insight of Ula in the name of Rabbi Lazar? Is that to say we're worried on both ends, is to say that when a sack comes out, a partial sack comes out, for sure there's some baby in there, and there's a doubt that the majority come out or not, and therefore we're concerned about both. That's his insight. Right? You hear what more established, before it comes to the question, it wants to establish what the insight is.
Could you, going back to the time of the, like if it's 41 days, let's say it's less than 60 days, you might say the majority came out the first time because there's so little of it. But as it gets bigger and bigger, then there's more of a doubt when the majority came out. Like, could you not assume the majority came out?
No, because it could come out of
days?
No.
Because it's so tiny. Probably all of
a majority can come out before. Why can't the majority come out? Even though it's more could have come out. No, remember?
No, I'm saying though, can you not assume when it's so small in the, 41 plus 5 days in that period of time, the first time something came out, the majority of the fetus was there because it's so tiny.
Not necessarily.
As opposed to day 55.
Not necessarily. Just like, ladies can deliver a baby, a whole baby in 5 minutes or in 12 hours.
Or longer.
You have more,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it goes on both ways. There's more that has to come out, or even less.
If there's less to come out, you probably
but still, maybe only
all came out, the majority came
but
out.
No, but there's still placenta that came out afterwards. There's still placenta that came out afterwards. You can assume, you could have sack, you have a sack. Now where is the embryo in that sack? It could be on the left side, could be on the right side. You don't know. Anyway, that's the insight. So we'll stop at this point before we come to the question. So we assume right now the insight is of Ula. The understanding of Ula is as follows. When a lady discharges a sack partially on Sunday and partially on Monday, his position is that a partial sack always has to have at least partial fetus. Since that has to be, there's only one doubt. Did the majority of the fetus come out on Sunday or on Monday? And therefore we're strict both ways. The Gemara is going to ask tomorrow, but that point we already learned in a Mishnah. If a Mishnah already said it, what does Ula have to tell us something that the Mishnah already said? And that we'll have to learn that Mishnah, which is going to take time to develop that. Okay, shkoyach, guys.